This is Lecture 5 of Gun Kendra Koan, and the paragraph we're working on is to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. So the first sentence here, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. I think it's really important to understand what this is and what we're studying. So Buddhism in general is focused on how we alleviate our suffering and the suffering of others. So how we alleviate our suffering is based on transforming our understanding of the basic nature of the self in Buddhism. So the essential characteristics of the self is that of impermanence, codependence, codependent arising, and codependence in nurturance and codependence with all beings. And also the number third is suffering. So let me do that again. The essential characteristics of the self and of everything is impermanence, that it is in a codependent relationship with all other things. And that codependence is where we receive nurturance, as all other things do. And also the third one is that it is the nature to be of us to be dissatisfied, the nature of beings in the form realm to experience suffering. And these are called the three marks of existence in Buddhism: impermanence, dissatisfaction, and no inherently inherent existing self or being. So that is why Dogen says at the end of the first paragraph of Gyantra Koan, he says, and yet in attachment, blossoms fall, and in aversion, weeds spread. So that's basically what we are investigating when Dogen says to study the Buddha way is to study the self. So this studying of the self is studying these basic concepts. And these basic concepts are also the basic concepts of everything, all things, beings, situations, times, and interacting with being at the same time. So we say, when we say to study the Buddha way, we're talking about investigating all of this as the self. And then, so that's the first question. What is it that we're studying? And then the next one is, how is it to say, or what is it to say, study? So when we study, we place ourselves in an experiential training environment, which is essentially your life viewed through a Buddhist lens. And in this environment, we can find something else about our true nature and the true nature of all beings. And what we do this through following the Buddhist path. And the Buddhist path is the doctrine of Buddhism. It's the way of awakening, so that path that we're following to awakening. And it's also this moment right now as we are right on the path. So another piece of this is that we have teachers. And the other side of this is this that we are actually encased in a system, and the system is the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. The system is the three refuges, and it includes the teacher, the Sangha, the Dharma. Dogen said, we should know that the exact import of the wondrous Dharma of the seven Buddhas appears and is instilled when students who have matched their minds and verified their understanding follow and receive direct transmission from lineage teachers who have gained the way and clarified their minds. This is not something that the Dharma masters who study words and letters can know. So the last sentence here is when he's saying, this is not intellectual understanding. This understanding has to be experiential, and it has to happen in relationship. And Dogen's saying it has to happen in relationship with the teacher who has been recognized within the lineage. And in this case, we're talking about Soto Zen. So that's what we're talking about, or that's an aspect, an important aspect of talking about this first sentence. To study the Buddha way is to study the self. So the next sentence is, to study the self is to forget the self. So what does that mean to say we're going to forget the self? Maizumi Roshi, Hakuyu Maizumi Roshi, who started the Minnesota Zen Center, he said, Maizumi Roshi started the ZCLA, Zen Center of Los Angeles. He said, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. He said, remove to study, then what is left? What is left is the Buddha way is the self. What is the self? The Buddha way. Who are you? Who is Buddha? How can we realize Buddha? By forgetting the self. Now let's eliminate, so I'm still quoting him here, let's eliminate the Buddha way and the self. To study is to study. Discipline is discipline. Enlightenment is enlightenment. Delusion is delusion. Life is life. But always we experience a separation, and that causes problems. So he's saying, in reality, life is life. Delusion is delusion. Enlightenment is enlightenment. Dogen would say something like study, study, studying. Enlightenment enlightens enlightenment. Delusion, delusions, delusion. Life, life's life. This way that when we are fully engaged with our experience, we are absolutely forgetting this subject-object relationship. And so when we don't do that, we experience the separation. And Maizumi Roshi is saying that is where we have problems. And yet simultaneously, we are still ourselves. We are not separate. We are not separate from the totality of our experience, and yet simultaneously, we are a particular self. So when we talk about forgetting the self, we're not talking about that you don't have a self. We're talking about a way in which forgetting the self is incorporating our personal life into the broader life of every being that we encounter in such a way that we can wisely, appropriately, and compassionately respond to that situation. So we can do this response because now we're not experiencing a separation that causes the suffering that Maizumi Roshi is talking about. We're incorporating this truth of this interconnection in our understanding of ourselves and others. So again, this is not about not having a personality. Here, Dogen, he did not say to study the self is to get rid of the self. He said to study the self is to forget the self, to forget the selfish self, to let that part of ourselves, to set that aside, to pay attention to that and realize that that's functioning, and to be able to set that aside, and to be able to look at that and put it in an appropriate perspective. So it's what we want to do is avoid focusing all the time about what we want to the exclusion of what is appropriate response for the situation that we're in, which has to include others as well, other beings. So an extreme example of this, or a very good example of this right now, I think, are people who are nurses and doctors and people who work in hospitals during the pandemic. And they're working under these really terrible and really difficult conditions. But because they understand that without their help, there could be no easing of the suffering of all the people that they treat, they have set aside their personal fear, and in that way, they have forgotten the self. At the same time, they're doing everything they can do to protect themselves and their families within the context of this situation. So again, forgetting the self does not mean that we're completely unaware of our needs. It's just that we shift the perspective of how we're understanding this. So in their case, does it mean that they are not frightened? No, they are afraid. People say, yes, I have to do this. We watched this on the news. People watched this last night, I think, on CNN. Nurses saying, you know, I'm afraid. Doctors saying, I'm afraid. It's like, I know I'm going into this petri dish of this infection. And yet, simultaneously, they're like, I can't be anywhere else. I can't be anywhere else. And when they go home, they take off all their clothes and wash them, and they don't hug their kids, and all of the things that they're doing to try to protect their family and protect themselves. So this is a very interesting thing to study in relationship to this question about studying the self and forgetting the self. The next line is, to forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. So when we forget our selfish self and remember our true nature of interbeing as self, we immediately become connected again. We are always connected, but we act and define ourselves with this kind of disconnected thinking, and we think that by thinking of ourselves as separate and disconnected, that we're going to be happier. But when we reconnect, we immediately feel this deeper connection with our life. We find out that our life actualizes our life. Actualization. This self, Buddha way, forget, study, actualization, all beings become one thing, which is reality presenting and meeting each moment as we meet it. So that's something I think that we're all finding out about how much we appreciate each other right now. You know, we're getting together, struggling with our technical issues here, you know, and also all coming together. I can hear all of you when we're working with all this, trying to solve this problem together, trying to work together and figure out what's not happening here. You know, in the process of this, it looks like we now have 23 people back into this Zoom session, and I think that was almost everybody who was there originally. So I'm really glad that we all managed to come back together again. This problem solving that we're doing together, and it's kind of chaotic. You know, there's this aspect to it that's kind of chaotic. And that's the myriad things. That's the totality of our experience. And forgetting the self in this situation is that we've thrown ourselves wholeheartedly into this life. We've thrown ourselves wholeheartedly into fixing this problem. And trying to pay close attention, not just to ourself, but to the entirety of this experience. So your experience means everyday activity, whatever that is. And that is why we say in Buddhism, nothing special. Kōpin Shinō Roshi, who was the founder of Jokoji, where we go and have retreats, have shishin, Kōpin Shinō Roshi said, you recognize yourself as the absolute. So naturally, there is no more insistence of a self, of yourself. So he says, he's describing this. He says, when you recognize yourself as absolute or as in this interconnected relationship. So at that point, there is no more insistence of the self as a selfish self, of yourself. And then I really like this part of the quote. He says, although everyone is there and helping you, you are a closed system. So because everyone is there and helping us all the time, because the whole world, all myriad things are rising simultaneously together, functioning with us as we are functioning with them, they're already there, but we're a closed system when we're being selfish, when we're thinking of ourselves as separate. And then he goes on, he says, when you flip to the other side of this closed system, you discover everyone, everything is waiting for you there. I thought that was really a great quote, because we forget, you know, an example of this is when we define the nature of what we think help is, And if we don't, that help doesn't arise in the way that we've defined it, we find ourselves in the situation where we think no one is helping. We think that there's no help there because we have a very narrow definition. The next line is, when actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. Okay, so here I want to switch into giving a kind of extended example. So we are, in this example, having a tussle with a coworker trying to control the outcome of some decision that's being made. When we forget ourselves in the way that we're talking about in this Buddhist way, then we're dropping our agenda in a way that allows us to empathize with the other person's position. And when we do this, we can relax. We can go with a kind of listening. We can be more friendly. When we understand the other person's point of view and we actually see that we are in the same situation, that we are both human beings struggling, trying to get our point of view across, we see that we have the same concerns and fears and desires. And so that's an example of the myriad things that when we open to them, we can forget ourselves. So when we are able to forget ourselves in this way and open to the totality of what's happening and open to this other person and actually entertain and consider what's being said, in that way we're not being driven into an unskillful response because of our entrenched opinions, habitual responses, and selfish drive to insist on our own way. This is what dropping body and mind means. Dropping body and mind does not mean that we become invisible. It doesn't mean that we're wishy-washy or entering some absolute state without a body or mind. It is just what Dogen's calling forgetting the self, or forgetting the selfish self through integrating and dropping the self that is selfish, ignorant, and unskillful. So when we forget the self, our generosity arises. We can be more patient, spacious, not fixed in our views. This also liberates the other person. It also gives the other person the opportunity of dropping body and mind. So he says, Dogen says here, your body and mind as well as the bodies and minds of others drop away. This helps to liberate the other person. That other person might not feel as defensive. That person feels seen, they feel heard, and in turn they can let go of their own selfishness. And thus the bodies and minds of others drop away. And here's the last sentence of this text. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Okay, because your attention is completely focused on the interaction that you're having, how you got to this point does not appear. You are completely focused on just this time and situation with yourself and the other person. So this is no trace of realization remains. How you got to this realization, the karma of this process, all of those things just become 100% this moment. 100% this experience that you're having, this interaction, this complete listening, complete interbeing in that situation. So there's no trace that's left here. So when the no trace, realization, forgotten self, study, Buddha, Buddha way, actualize myriad things, enlightenment, all this drops away, and it's just this. It's just this dropping body and mind of being totally present. And when this happens, this no trace continues endlessly. So endlessly means that we are meeting each situation in your life over and over again with a fresh eye and an open mind. And this is happening in your everyday life. So we strive to avoid a kind of sticky trail of unskillful karma born from our selfish mind. even though we continue to fail, you know, even though the leaves are falling and dying, even though in aversion weeds spread, we continue to make this effort. This is also part of this. It's not something separate from this process. This is letting go of our ideas about enlightenment and focusing back again and again and again to all the situations, feelings, thoughts, and everything that comes forward to be with us in each moment. So that's what this process is to me, to talk about studying the self. This is what it means to forget the self. This is what it means to drop body and mind. This is what it means to be present in a way that allows the bodies and minds of others to drop away as well. And there's no trace of realization. There's nothing to hang on. There's nothing sticky here that's getting us caught. And then this no trace continues endlessly, over and over and over again. We make this effort. Thank you very much.